This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts just to not miss any of our conversations and updates on this case. Today, we're being joined by Bob Hallisey to get a unique perspective on just what is going on in the Carolinas. He resides in North Carolina. He's a forensic investigator, owner of Forensic Unlimited Investigations, and a retired Wake County deputy sheriff. I'm really interested to dive into some of the dynamics of what goes on in that part of the country, especially when you have the long dynasty of the Murdaughs in that area. So far in watching the Alec Murdaugh case, what's been your takeaway, Bob?
Well, so far what I've seen, I don't see where they have a whole lot of evidence against them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is, of course, they had a rifle and they have a shotgun. But they don't have, the DNA, looks like the lab may have screwed that up at some point. Of course, the defense can't use it now to, do their examination. So I think that they may or may not get a motion to, have that eliminated.
What I'm wondering about with a location like this, the crime took place on their own property. How difficult is that to collect evidence, DNA evidence, or any other forensic evidence, and then pin it to a crime scene where these are places and things that Alec would already be handling, touching, being around on a normal basis, not necessarily involving murder?
That would be correct, Tony, on that. The only thing that I would foresee that they're looking for forensically, like I would be doing, would be looking for touch DNA that would not belong to Alec and that there'd be somebody else's there. Of course, they wanted to prove their case against Alex, so they're going to have a little hard time there with it being his property. Now, let's say it was at a hunting lodge, and let's say Alec hadn't been there in a long time, then maybe things could be a little different. But this being on their property, it's going to be very hard to reach that level of expertise on that evidence that they get out of there. I mean, sure, they're looking for DNA. They'd be looking for anything else there, but I don't see where that's come out of there yet.
And the thing is, DNA doesn't necessarily give us a timeline as to when it was imprinted anywhere.
Yeah, and they're of course, nowadays they're using that genealogical DNA, and that has brought up a lot of cold cases now because of that.
Sure.
So people that, let's say just for instance, you and I, if we committed a murder 15 years ago, and one of our relatives goes in there and they do a genealogical DNA because they want to find out about their family, bam,
mm-hmm.
you might be caught. But I saw yesterday or day before yesterday, I can't remember when it was, I was looking at it, and I think they're touching more on the cell phone evidence right now for Cellbrite, mm-hmm. if you know what Cellbrite is. And on the steps. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. You have an iPhone? Do you have or do you use an Android phone?
Personally, I have an iPhone.
Okay. So do you use it for health?
Yeah, I do have that
fitness
app. Yes.
Or anything like that?
Yep.
Okay. So every step you take is counted and it's recorded into the iPhone mainframe there.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say that you get up in the morning, you take 15 steps, then you don't take another 15 steps for an hour. You finally get out of the bed and you're walking around. Okay. Providing you have your phone on now,
mm-hmm.
your iPhone on. If you don't have the iPhone on, it's a little hard to do it. Okay.
Sure.
So, you're in the car, it doesn't count it. If you're on the tractor, like I live on a farm. So if I'm on the tractor, it doesn't count my steps until I get off the tractor and start walking some more.
Mm-hmm.
But those steps, they're trying to prove those steps now with Alex's part of it on that day of when the murder happened, how many steps he was taking that day. And they're trying to prove, they're trying to count for the lost steps. That's hard to do.
Sure.
But that's what they're trying to do right now.
What we've seen in the video, the following day of the murders, investigators and family all hanging out in a gun room on the property. Why wasn't a place like this completely shut down for the murder investigation? Why were the police and investigators and the family still hanging out in these areas? Were they still playing to the power of Alec Murdoch and letting him, you know, well, we'll take a look around here, assuming that he couldn't have possibly done this?
You know, that brings up a good question. For the simple fact that, yes, I think the police have played a role in this thing in missing evidence because, okay, they're contaminating the crime scene at that point.
Yes.
Everybody in there is contaminating the crime scene, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They should be having one person designated to determine who goes into the crime scene, what time they entered the crime scene, what time they exited the crime scene. And that case log there goes into the main frame of the report, which goes on to court.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense attorney can say, well, Robert House, he was in the crime scene from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can ask that officer what they did during that period of time. I don't know, because, you know, that part hasn't come out yet. Just what part they played. But I've got a current case that reminds me so much of the case in South Carolina, now in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
where attorney firm, and it probably will come out one day, an attorney firm in this county has run this county for so many years now that they get away with everything.
Yeah.
And that's the same way in South Carolina, where the Murdochs were doing.
Yeah.
Getting away with everything. And it could be that, okay, so I read somewhere, or I heard somewhere where he gives out every year for first responders. He gives a meal to them.
Mm-hmm.
All that is to keep them, not so much on payroll, but to keep them as friends, okay?
Because
you may need them one day.
Yep.
So if one of those officers is really friendly with them, he might say, hey, listen, you know, I don't need this happening. I don't need this happening. Not saying it happens, but it does happen, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It happens every day, okay? And it baffles me some of the stupid mistakes they're making in this case as far as the crime scene goes. It's ridiculous.
What are some of those mistakes that you see that are being made? Obviously, we just talked about the gun room. What are some other things that have stood out to you?
I from just viewing the video and everything, I would love to know, again, who's been into the crime scene, who has not. Are they wearing protection on their feet? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are they wearing gloves? Now, you can screw up a crime scene just by sending, I'll give you an example. Years ago, there was an attorney general, there was the DA, there was the sheriff, and 14 other officers at a major crime scene, okay,
mm-hmm.
walking around. I asked my supervisor, can you get rid of these people?
Yeah.
And he didn't. And so everyone had to be printed that was in there, be fingerprinted. And one person refused to give their prints. And to this day, that person's never given their prints. And I remember that case so vividly in my mind. And stuff like that happens. And people want to just, the news media, everybody wants to get into it. You know how it is with the way it is now. I mean,
sure.
Look, good golly. I mean, in where I live at, they're asking for body cams within 15 minutes after a crime happens.
Sure.
And that messes up the case. It's hard to handle the case.
Let's talk about the root of some of that, where these sort of things take place, where it's, well, you know, I need this to go away. What is that? Why is someone, or why would an officer of the law or an investigator bow down to something like that? Just, you know, because we're buddies or this or that. What are they fearing? Should they actually do their job properly and defend the rights of the innocent and to, you know, follow through on what should be followed through, especially in a murder investigation? Are they fearing for their own safety? Should they not?
Not so much. It depends on how close they are to that person. Obviously, the Murdoch monarch is caving in. Okay,
sure.
There's no doubt about that. It's unraveling every day, worse and worse for them. You got trust accounts that have been messed with and everything, and that is a no-no in any state, because the bar of, like, here in North Carolina bar can come after you for that, mm-hmm. and give you some stiff penalties. If not, take your license away from you for 6 months to a year.
Sure.
So down there, we know that Murdoch was tampering with the trust funds.
Mm-hmm.
So he's paying people off.
Yeah.
Now, this happens. And as you know, as well as I do, Tony, what is the root of all evil?
Money.
So you get, you know, law enforcement's not paid that much. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys had to work part-time. I know I did when I was in law enforcement. And so greed. They say, oh my golly, you're going to give me $10,000 to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Next time I says, well, listen, you gave me 10 last time. How about give me 15 this time?
I see. So,
and then to get on,
if they were
kind of like, it reminds me of the mafia backwards. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
What reminds me of,
if they were to do a deeper dive into this, would you expect that you would find a lot of payoffs to a lot of the officers, or detectives or what have you in the county and the area that the Murdaughs are practicing in? If you were to find all of that historically going back?
You could probably find it going back to the grandfather.
Yeah.
And beyond that, if, you know, you really did an in-depth investigation into the family, you could probably saw the greed and everything from that family dating back to, you know, I think a solicitor goes way, way back in that family.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't make that kind of money and be there without making some kind of enemy along the way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Murdoch had his enemies, but I'm sure he kept those enemies close to him. I would have, if I was in that boat, but he's rotten to the core. He's got to have people somewhere along the way that's helped him get where he's at.
And look the other way for so long, allowing him to
look
commit
the other
crimes.
Way. Now, I would say that this greed here could go all the way up, you know, to top levels.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, for him to be able to get what he's gotten over the years, you know.
Do you feel that in a case like this, in this part of the country, will there ever be an investigation into any of that after the fact of all this? Or is it just kind of swept under the rug? We took care of that and let's move on and pretend this never happened.
Well, that's what they're going to try to do right now, sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
Because they need the focus taken off of South Carolina right now. They don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need another case like, I'm just trying to think of one up in that area, not in that area so much. They had one in Georgia some years ago where they tried to prove that one person killed so many people in the trailer, 9 or 10 people in the trailer, and he killed all of them by himself. Well, there's no way it was done. and that's another case, but I worked that case.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to prove that law enforcement was involved in it, and law enforcement was receiving money for it. And the guy ended up killing himself.
When you look at the evidence that exists here in the Alec Murdaugh case, the defense throwing a lot of things out there, including the probability or the possibility of there being two killers, two different guns. It is rather odd that two weapons were used separately for two different people. What are your thoughts on that as an investigator and the possibility of that being the case?
Okay, so let's take that. They already know one person. They already have already talked to him. He's already given state's evidence on that one. So there's one. Why couldn't there be two? Why couldn't there be three? If Murdaugh was playing his hand right, he could have had two people, because he could get one to take care of the other one. You got to get rid of the exposure there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you going to do? Surely there could be another shooter in this case. And that's the reason why I said, that's why they don't need all those people in the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Because they could get touch DNA. That's what I'm sure they were looking for, is other DNA beyond that, because of that one guy that claimed that he was hired by Murdaugh. And so that's when you got to put the case in overload at that point, as far as being very careful what you're doing and finding your evidence. You got to be very secretive of it in the beginning of it, not so much in the end where it's at right now, but in the beginning of the investigation, they should have been not telling everybody what's going on until they found out what they needed. As far as I know, that maybe they don't have that evidence. They had a shirt, and they screwed that up to where it can't be reexamined anymore. And was that done on purpose, or was that done by accident? I don't know. I haven't heard about that, about the results of that yet. You may have, but I don't remember hearing about it.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do wonder about that. How many things were purposely screwed up to basically defend Alec Murdaugh?
Exactly.
Bob Hallisey, forensic investigator in North Carolina, thank you for your unique perspective on this case. Do appreciate that. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on this case and coverage as we have it for you as it happens. You can also get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts. Even try that for 3 days free. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.